I come from a doctor family, and you learn to ignore symptoms until it's really bad. So I think that org design needs the specialist like a surgeon makes sense, but you want leaders to know, what do my symptoms look like? Hopefully get some help when it's just a niggly problem and not when it needs the full anesthetic. Let's cut this baby open.
Major surgery. I think in some of the symptoms or the causes for the symptoms is kind of hidden, because believe that work is linear. It comes in from all sides. It's all different types of work. And it goes from here and then there and then up there and then through there. And then eventually it goes out somewhere. And even people that are on functional teams network organically. I remember when I was in teams working for Ford, I used to network to get things done and to get them done faster than the normal way things needed to happen. So even though we think work is linear and we structure the organization linear, top down straight, right? Work happens in a network. It happens like this: bottom up, top down, sideways, and then crisscross. So why not structure the organization like that in a more of a natural way that people are working? So when you don't do that, then the symptoms that you might be experiencing, things are very siloed. I don't know what another department or another team is doing, or leaders just lobbying for one area so another area struggles, or the work doesn't have visibility. And why can't the work just go faster? I'm going to compress the timelines. I'm going to force them more. I'm going to be more strict. Why can't I flog the horses, and why can't they run faster? Because the system, it's an organism. It's a system that's working together. It's not one linear line in and out. Frustration, not satisfying customers or stakeholders. I think it hits leaders all sides, but what does it really mean when I experience those things in the organization? Do I need more people? Do I need a bigger budget? You don't really go for the root cause.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Really excited to talk to you both today. Welcome to the Org Design Podcast. I'm Damien, and I'm joined by Amy. And today we have Ross Libby and Elizabeth Venter from Agile Sherpas. We've had a great conversation so far. I'm really excited to dig in further with some of the interesting kind of points we've touched on. Elizabeth is calling in from Cape Town in South Africa, and Ross is calling in from Minnesota in the USA. Thank you so much for that introduction about whether org design is linear or where it goes. Ross, love to get your perspective on that.
Yeah, like you said, a great introduction or way of thinking. Always helpful to think of an analogy or metaphor, but if it is that human body or that system, I think we were discussing a little bit, you don't always understand it too well. I know what's going on. I'm working in this every day. I'm working through the process, and I'm the leader of it or such, and I don't know what's going on. But oftentimes it's much more complex, a lot of different interconnections. And if one thing is off, it can disrupt the whole. Definitely experienced that time and time again over the course of places I've been and things I've seen where, yeah, sometimes you're almost too close to it. Sometimes you have your own bias that get in the way, or your own experiences, and those aren't a bad thing. But are you actually taking in more than just your purview? We're talking about too, the help that a specialist or an expert, or sometimes it's an outside perspective, a second opinion can provide. And so that's what I think when we look at organizational design, it can be a multitude of things. There's no one right way or one right answer, but often gets better when you're exposed to more thinking, more ways that something could happen, and that possibility, how might be minds. Let's not get stuck in the way it has been, but let's balance that with what it could be and find the right path from there.
Russ, when you talk about a second opinion, are you talking outside the organization, within the organization? What's our scope of additional opinions?
Yeah, I think there's always the answer. It depends, but that's no fun to leave it at there. So it's probably a why not both more accurately. Oftentimes we see there is tremendous expertise within an organization. And also it can be further enhanced by having some of those from outside the organization or even outside the system, if you think of that interconnected system, to really bring the best of both worlds. I know when we get the opportunity to go in, that's the way we see the biggest bang, meaning you've got people who have a deeper knowledge in some of the why is this the way it is, or industry or domain specific sometimes. And then we can come in and bring sometimes a broader view and sometimes a deeper view, depending on the situation or scenario. So yeah, it's just the why not both?
It's also good to have some curiosity. Sometimes you don't quite know exactly what's going on, but you know there is something that's not working in the system. It's good to have different perspective and different eyes that look at the situation. And to what Ross was saying, somebody from the outside working together with the teams and the people on the inside to really understand how the work flows and how people are connecting. If you only leaning on expertise, you'll get one version of the truth. When there's connection and there's people working together on it, you get a completely different perspective on the org design, something that might actually work.
Curiosity, I think that's really interesting. So you both work with different organizations. Let's rewind to day one. Someone from there has said, hey, Elizabeth, we really need your help here. Things aren't going well. Our organization is a bit dysfunctional, or maybe a lot somewhere, probably more on the a lot side. And they probably will tell you, here's what we think is wrong. On day one, you've got that framing. What are the first things that you do to satisfy that curiosity to figure out that pathway forward?
You're spot on. Very often there's some kind of a problem statement that you can explore with a client. What are you experiencing? What are you seeing? And that for us very often happens on the senior level of the marketing organization. And then we want to discover, we want to explore, and we want to be curious. We want to hear from everyone in the organization as much as what we possibly can. And that's where there's different methods, and that's both quantitative and qualitative to help you understand what's actually happening in the fabric of the organization. You want to lift up the hood and you want to see how things are structured and how things are actually working and where those pain points are. Going back like a little bit of the medical profession, but you want to do a couple of blood tests, a couple of scans, you want to talk again, you want to measure a couple of things, and then you want to synthesize that and you want to say, all right, what is all of this telling us with our expertise in different ways of working and in an org design? What do some of these pain points actually mean? And how do you solve for that? Because org design is one aspect. There's also the ways of working, the way that information flows. There's various different levers that you can pull to affect change within the system and within the organization. And very often when we play that information back, it's connected to what was said first, but it goes a lot deeper. And the interesting thing is, as you uncover it, it's as if the leadership team and people go, yeah, that's true. Yep. We know that. It's not often that we find something that people haven't somewhere experienced or realized. They didn't quite know exactly how to put it together and then how to shift it in a way that's meaningful and systemic over time. The change in the design is not necessarily what was expected, and why that could be better in conjunction with different ways of working. Why is that so needed? So on that aspect, that's not something that they necessarily ask up front. They will come with a range of symptoms and then already think that they know what the answer is. But as you get under the hood, you need to adjust that.
From previous experiences, do you have an example that has stuck to you where they thought it was one thing and something completely different?
Yeah, and a couple of that was really around how we uncovered and what we uncovered about the culture. And it's usually culture. That's where the hardest understanding is. And the style of the leadership in the organization, how information flows, authority flows. That could be a bit of a knee jerk because that's not why they came to you. They came to me because people need to work differently. The teams need to work differently. Teams need to be set up differently. But the whole system actually needs to be set up differently and behave differently for real change to be affected. And that is not necessarily what was asked for. That was not what was expected. It was more around, okay, this is how we're going to fix your people. But fixing the system needs the leadership as well. So how is the leadership team structured? What is the cultural undertones? How is culture holding the organization together? How is culture enforcing the system that's in place? So you need to dismantle that if you want to see real change and actually create a different environment for your teams and fix the teams, that's not the way to really affect change. That's not going to create the environment that you're looking for. Teams, they work together in harmony, or there's collaboration and there's real innovation.
You mentioned a minute ago about doing that blood test. The things that might be going wrong could be around culture or leadership or authority. Are there specific tools, or is there a really bang for your buck question that you ask, or a way that you evaluate those things? Is our leadership healthy, or is the culture doing well?
I think oftentimes, even right when you're trying to diagnose whatever it might be, there's sometimes a few different things that have to be done or run, or a few things are being looked for. And I'd say, I believe that's similar how we approach it, or what we find. We go in with a few different ways in which we're wanting to try to do that. Where is the symptom? How can we help diagnose them? And so quantitative assessments where you can get everyone answering the exact same question with the exact same range of responses, to then the more qualitative, where we can do more fixations, do observations, or we can get documentation, right? And that you can have some sturdy documentation that you can see, but then you can also help to interpret it through those other points of those other kind of tests being run to say, what is now telling us when we see the bigger picture? I think that's apt, as Elizabeth was saying too, the ideas of that as a whole, when some are relations or culture specifically. Culture is a kind of a gnarly, sometimes there's hidden pieces of it. Sometimes there's pieces, especially leadership teams don't really want to show. No, that's for us and single. So multifaceted ways in which you can look at it. It doesn't always mean it's just, oh, that's exactly the thing, but you start to uncover, you start to reveal things, or you start to eliminate pieces, which I think is a very important part of the process, as you start to hone in on what might this be. And with a little bit of a structure to it, because you want to isolate variables. So you don't want them all to be on the table. Well, it could be one of 10. That's not helpful. There's a few different tests, a few different things you want to run in order to understand, or even what was mentioned earlier, our own bias. And we can have that right as we come in from the outside. Oh, well, doesn't this look at what we just saw over here? You got to fight that. You've got to let the data put it out in qualitative and quantitative aspects, help inform what is this scenario.
You both have mentioned that often something around lean, around culture does come in one of these assessments. If you could click your fingers and give every leader on this earth a skill in relation to org design that would help org design be as successful as possible, what would that be?
That experimentation and looking at things with that. Elizabeth said it. Hope I'm not stealing yours too, because I think especially when we're more seasoned in something, doing something for longer, it brings a competence, which is a really good thing, but it can bring an over. And bring, I know it, noise, and want to push that away, or, but that's where some of the greatest right risks are blind spots. The thing we know the best oftentimes has blinds. So yeah, if you can just take those, go back to, I know at least many, I don't know if it looks the same, but here in the States, science experiments as kids. I don't know, in the grades of 3, 4, 5, 6, when you're 8, 9, or 10, or 11 or something, you start to learn that science process. Which at the time, I think you think, this is, when am I ever going to use this? But that's what I go back to and say, that same thing, you have something you believe to be true, right? You have to then try to, how can I prove that out? And that same idea too, you're taught, limit the variables, right? Isolate the things that you can limit and try to test out to see, is this thing true or not? So yeah, I'd just say that experimental kind of curiosity.
It's fantastic, Ross. When you said experimentation, is the exact note that I made as well, because when you start looking at a model or a structure within the organization that will increase flow, you'll have to experiment a little bit and have some resilience as well. Because you may try something and it doesn't quite work as well as what you expected. And then you've got to say, instead of saying, okay, it didn't work that well, let's just keep things the way that they are. You know, and that happens sometimes. We took a chance, we're not going to explore any further. So that really, like I said, increases flow and changes the way that people work and the way that people are organized and collaborate together. That's that resilience, that experimentation, that curiosity that Ross is also mentioning now. And then psychological safety. So that as a leader, you can say, well, maybe not so much, but we're going to try this now. and the teams being open. So creating that environment where we're open to say, we're going to try this way, we're going to tweak it this way. This is why, this is what we see is working. These are the ones to adjust. That creates also an environment to say that it's safe to fail. It's safe to not have it 100%, but that we're not going to give up. We're going to keep on adjusting and find something that really works. Because I'm working with a client now where we've made quite a few adjustments to the design. That's okay. It's not supposed to be one and done. If we're treating it like a body and an organism, if you want to structure it like a network, of course, there's going to be movement. And that's okay. So the other one thing that I'll mention last is crucial conversations. It's the ability for people to speak to one another. So the leader to management team across to be able to have open conversations and say, let's try this. Let's not try that. Let's shift it this way. This is not working for me. I'm not comfortable in this role. Or how can I support you? How can I help you? Is changing conversation and that skill, that conversational skill and being leader as a coach, you want to embark on org design and you've got to think on the softer skills as well for your leaders, your managers and your team so that they can speak up when there's discomfort. When you stay in the status quo, you're just going to keep things as they are and be as uncomfortable as
the status quo is definitely scarier. What you talked about there is having that being safe to fail is for many people, organizational design is really scary. What if it goes wrong? Everything we're talking about here is high stakes. These are not conversations that we can have in public. We can't make a mistake because if we do it, we're putting people's livelihood, their purpose comes from their work. We're putting all of those things on the line. And so to many people, it feels like somewhere that absolutely is not safe to fail. So what would you say to those people who are quaking in their boots at the idea that org design is something that you can fail at?
Yeah, and I'd say take courage and take a step. Sometimes organizations, when they're facing an org change or when we're working with an organization, can feel quite overwhelming. And in that overwhelm, they might step back and say, I want everything perfect. I want every name in every box. I want to know exactly where everything's going to fit. And it's not wrong to seek some certainty, right? It's not wrong to want to know the detail. However, with every change, not all the detail is 100% clear in the beginning. So take a step, experiment, try something, get a pilot team up and running that is structured in a different way. Run it, learn from it, and communicate. When people feel that change is pushed on them, especially in, there's a level of resistance that's based in fear, my job, my security, my meaning, my purpose, the things that you were mentioning, Damien, feels under threat. And that's where leadership and managers need to be very strong in their support for teams to be able to say, this is the way that we're going. Let's move together. You are secure in this way. Let's talk about it. Let's hear from you. Let's try things and adjust things where it is really not working.
Well said.
Elizabeth, you're making me think. I used to work in a very large global organization. And so these reorgs happen fairly regularly. And something I always heard was, who did they even talk to? Like, why are we going to be this way? Who did they even talk to? Do they even know what we do here? So it sounds like your sound advice would ideally prevent that sentiment involving the right people.
I would hope so. Yeah. Because I know it, often then we spoke about this, and that the leadership needs to be mindful about the type of specialist, right? And because there's a big change. And if that change, that decision to change happens in a vacuum of the people that will be affected by it, there will definitely be dissonance, right? And you'll see churn. You'll see people being unhappy with what happens to them. If they are part of the conversation, if they are part of shaping it, if they are part of saying, these are the things that's not working, and they see that they were being listened to, that they were being understood, that they were being heard, and that their ideas are now taking shape and taking form and being put into action, it's much easier to support them through that change, and you're going to have a different response. The one thing that I will say about the communication is it's not one and done right at the beginning. You have to do that constantly and continuously, because you don't scale change really. And then I'll explain what I mean now. When you're starting to work with teams and you're affecting the structure, you would think, oh, but economies of scales, the more you do, the better it gets. No, you're working with human beings and human teams. And it matters as much to you, Amy, as what it matters to me. The effect that it's going to have on Damien is the same as Amy, etc. You don't copy and paste the change. You need to help every human, every team, go through that rate of change that they are going through. You can't say, well, because we communicate and help the first amount of teams, the last ones, that's fine. We don't need to do all of that work again, that communication, that conversation. You need to do just as much to help them through the change as well.
One of the things that we find a lot of our listeners are not experts in org design, but they're people who are interested in enacting organizational change within their own company, with their own part of the organization. Is that something someone can do themselves? Should they feel empowered to jump in and start making org change? Or do they need someone?
It's a good question. Can anyone learn a new? Yes, absolutely. Take some time, read as much as what you possibly can about it. Understand what the change means. Understand the different options. Speak to different people. Speak to people that specialize in that. But I don't think the fear of change is something that should stop somebody from exploring what this means and what org design means and what it is and benefits that it can bring to an organization. And there are people that specialize in this field, obviously. But when you're in an organization, read and learn as much as possible about it so that you can see if there's certain of those symptoms within your organization, within your team. And then start experimenting, absolutely. I would actually say that could be really good for the organization, good for a leader to do that, because of the rate of change in the world at the moment and the revolution that we're currently in. Change is with us all the time. And to create that interconnected network of teams in your organization, even if it's within a functional team, it's needed that people work in a network. We're not in the industrial revolution where things come in the one way and they go out on the other way, to my point about work not being linear. So I would encourage leaders to learn about org design as much as they possibly can.
There's something that popped to the front of my mind actually from organizational design forum conference, and I believe it was Bob Johannes there. And so that is influenced now how I think we can help organizations or how to think about this. And it was that idea of seek clarity, not certainty. And I got his quote, might be butchering it, but it was something the effect of that, that future punishes certainty, but rewards clarity. And so I think that's an undertone now that really resonated with me, or what we want to impart with those we work with, or to Elizabeth's point, to encourage people to say that clarity is key, right? That community comes from it. And those are things like, what is the purpose, right, of that enterprise, of that part within the enterprise or that organization? And hopefully it's not that dissimilar, but a function or a business unit may have a little unique purpose. And are you clear on that? Are you clear on the problems you are trying to solve, right? The customers you're trying to serve, the strategies you're going after? Seek confidence in that clarity. If you're using that as your guide, then you should experiment. Then you should feel, you know, safe to fail, but learn from that failure, because that's what's going to progress you. And so I think, yeah, a topic like org design, and each one of us probably have different origin stories or whatnot, but at least for me, or probably many, it's not, oh, that's exactly what I went to school for and exactly how I came here thinking I would get in this. It's evolving. And so when you start to get those experiences, when you start to connect into things like have a clarity of purpose, the organization has clarity in their purpose, that's where the power starts to get unleashed. And it gets unleashed not by just a single person or a single specialist or whatnot. When the collective organization starts to get aligned, starts to feel that same sense of confidence in we can try things, we can experiment, we can learn and grow.
I just wrote that down. The future punishes certainty, but rewards clarity.
Yeah, and the credits have to go elsewhere. Like I said, I think that's always best when you can latch on to those things, those wise words of others, and find their application to the meaning in many different ways often.
Thank you both so much for your time and your humility and sharing your knowledge and stories with us. I've always said the Org Design Podcast, we believe there's no perfect org, but now I'm thinking maybe there's no certain org, but if we can all share our knowledge and our stories, we can all help each other get more clarity and build better places to work.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you to Damon. It was a real pleasure and a privilege to spend some time with you today.
Thank you all.